I guess I want to interpret the part of Alan's prayer for few that might not quite understand. I saw Betty talking to him before the prayer and wondered what the conversation might be. And I'm sure it was asking for prayer for the people that in Oklahoma. Gary Hausnick is there this morning with Neva at Mike and Barbara Kimball's. Barbara is Gary's sister, and I'm sure that Mike, our son, and Sherry are there, and Laura May and MG and their two boys are there, so our hearts are there. Mothers never give up. Fathers don't maybe quite as much, but mothers never give up for their little ones. A few weeks ago, I announced that my second son was going to over to the Netherlands for 2 to 3 years. And, of course, I was told right after service that, hey, that's 2 or 3 months, not 2 or 3 years. And, of course, I knew it was 2 or 3 months, but I don't know. I got it confused, and I said 2 or 3 years. But that was postponed for a while, but then he did go. And our daughter-in-law left on Saturday. She arrived there early this morning in the Netherlands. Of course, that's been 6 or 8 hours ago now with the time difference between here and there. And again, I know Betty's thoughts are there. I guess I want to talk about believers this morning. Belief. And much in the scripture pertains to belief. And of course, we also hear considerable about faith. And of course, along with faith, seem to just go hand in glove, faith, hope, and charity. They all go together, but actually before the faith comes belief. And are you all believers? Sure. What do you believe? Well, now that might get a little different answer when we talk about what we believe. Because we all believe something. At least I think we do. And I think I heard in a testimony that Nancy kind of chided Romy that you got to believe in something. And, well, Nancy, of course, is not an ordained minister. She wasn't even a member of the Church of Christ, I don't think, that time. But she was interested in his welfare, as any wife would be, as any mother would be. And I guess we can't take away from her the right to teach her husband, her children, her neighbors. Now, her can be anybody. It don't need to be Nancy. It can be anybody. But We have to be a little careful what we believe, because we may get introduced to things that really are not right. And if we are introduced to it and are fed upon it long enough, we may begin to believe it to be so, whether it is right or wrong. I think we were all taught in school, probably in grade school, that this good old Mother Earth was round. And if you are taught it long enough, you begin to believe it. Do you know it's round? Can you prove it's round? Or you just kind of believe it is? Lots of beliefs, it's hard to prove. But of course, I'm almost tempted to say, of course, we all know that the earth is round. But I'm not sure we all know that it is, but we believe it very strongly. And I probably have as much evidence of that as anyone here this morning. I spent a few weeks down on the Antarctic continent watching the sun go around in a circle. I was sitting on one end of this earth, not right at the pole, about 450 miles from the pole, but though I've been to the pole, South Pole that is. But I could see the sun go around, a little lower on one side and a little higher on the other side, low at midnight and high at the noontime. Sun shining all the time, but with it beaming down a little steeper towards the earth, it warmed more. It's got a little shallower on the other side. It cooled about 40 degrees a day, zero at night, low 30s in the daytime in the heat of the summer. Well, I already believed that the earth is round. I'd been taught it, and I believed what I'd been taught. And then I got a little more evidence than what some may have had. But we have to be taught. We have to know. Have to be taught. I'm a little bit careful with the word know, saying that I know something. I'd rather say that I believe it very, very strongly than to say that I know. I don't really mean to pick a fight with someone that says they know something is right. Can they really, 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 really prove it? And if they can't, well, then maybe they should be saying that they have very strong belief, very, very strong belief that something is right. Children go to school when they're small because that is the time when they can learn quickly. That's a time when they can believe that's what the things that they are told. I read in the paper this past week a little item. I'm not even sure where I read it, but I found it somewhat amusing. And it had to do with a Sunday school teacher with her little children. And she asked them, they're talking about Jesus. And they said, who was Jesus' mother? And they all quickly answered, Mary. All in unison, Mary. Then her next question was, who was Jesus' father? Well, there was a little silence on that. And finally one said, oh, Verge. Verge was his father. And the teacher said, Verge? And he said, well, all I ever heard was about Virgin Mary. And so it must be Verge must have been the father. He believed. He did not quite understand what he believed. He did not quite understand the words that he had been believing, but he believed, yes. So little children can believe pretty easily. So don't ever teach them wrong. Sometimes we may not understand everything that we believe. Do we believe that there is a God? Do we truly believe that there is a God? I sure hope so. Once in a while you'll find some individual that will say that there isn't any God, you know, he don't believe anything at all. Well, he believes something. He believes that there isn't a God, yes. They all believe. Some believe the right way and some believe the wrong way. Well, after we get over the hurdle of believing that there is a God, do we believe that he created the world? That he created our ancestry? The Bible says it did, you know. In the beginning, God created. I think that's the first few words in the Bible, in the beginning. God created. I'm probably not quoting exactly right. It may or may not be. It doesn't matter. But does everybody believe that? Sorry to say, there's a whole bunch that believes the universe got started by some big explosion, or the Big Bang Theory, as people call it. Oh yes, they believe. They're believers. Everybody's believers. But what do we believe? God told Adam and Eve what they should do. They weren't too obedient in all of it. Therefore, they committed the sin that caused death. Do we believe that? I sure do. And I hope you all do. I really think you do. And I believe that he caused Christ to be born of this woman Mary and Virge, as the story was. Not Virge, of course, but of a virgin Mary. And, well, what's a virgin Mary? Well, most of adults know what a virgin is and what a virgin isn't, or who isn't a virgin. So I don't think I need to try to explain to you exactly what a virgin is. Along in time, Abraham's time, he being old, and his wife Sarai, who later God called him to call her name Sarah, they sent an angel. Oh, I don't know if it was an angel or not. It said the Lord, so it might have been the Lord himself. And I'm going to cheat like my cousin, the brother of Lauren, and tell you this on page 20, which is the 9th chapter of Genesis and 13th verse. I'll tell you the chapter a little quicker than he did. He left us hanging for a long time trying to figure out where page 20 might be, or page 314 or whatever. And starting with the 9th verse, 18th chapter and the 9th verse, I got to find it. And they said unto him, "There, where is Sarah, thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life." I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. What does that mean, a time of life? Well, I read somewhere once, and it's kind of making a joke, that all women, young women, ladies, their body was continually trying to reproduce. And after a few weeks, if things didn't work out, why, throw it all out and start over. Then after enough tries and failures, or maybe after several children, the body gave up that function. And that was no more. The time of life. I think that's what it's referring to exactly. Bring back the childbearing years, if you want to call it that. Bring back to the body that function that is designed, created, whatever word I can use, to reproduce. And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, the wife, shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door and was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. This is what I've been talking about. That function of the womanhood that seeks to reproduce. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" Now that Lord does not capitalize, so this is talking about her husband, Lord, not not God, not the Lord God, but her, my husband being old also, and the Lord, and then that one is capitalized. That's would be the Lord God. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, and according to the time of life, time of life again, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. Can I take the word laughed out and insert didn't believe? She didn't believe she would have a child at that old age. I think it would fit very very nicely to say she did not believe. Well, maybe I wouldn't want to say she didn't believe. She believed that she couldn't have a child. So maybe she did believe, if you want to use the word believed, but she believed the wrong way. For she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. So, even though the Lord had told him, Sarah believed that it couldn't happen. Or she was an unbeliever. However you would want to phrase it, it wouldn't change it any. But there's lots of promises made. And are we believers? Are we believers in God? Are we believers of the good things, not the bad things? Or are we unbelievers? Unbelievers in God. Now back on page 11, which is Genesis 9 and verse 13. This was right after the flood. When the people had become sinful and unbelievers, and God swept them off the earth with a flood. Save eight people, eight souls. Noah and his wife and their family. Well, I'll go back up to the 12th verse. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. That's almost forever, isn't it? But I guess it's not quite forever, because forever would include after our death and after this life, if the true sense of forever. So for perpetual generations, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be there for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. What is that bow? The rainbow. Everybody knows what the rainbow is. Does everybody know that rainbow is a token between God and mankind, that he never again will flood the earth? And a rainbow can be so very beautiful. Sometimes they're very indistinct. You can hardly see them, but sometimes they are very bright and very beautiful. Sometimes it's a double rainbow even. One up here and another down here. And probably the one that I enjoyed the most was when we were coming from Independence. I suppose after conference. I'm not real sure what the occasion we were at Independence. And it was storming in the east, and we were coming down to Harrisonville and across the Highway 7. Used to be 35 when I was a kid, but it's 7 now. And the storm, I guess, was moving ahead of us. And so the rainbow was there for a long, long time as we drove into it. And the colors actually came down right to the ground. And once in a while there would be a tree or a bush there, and it would come down to that bush, and even you could see the colors in the bush. Do I believe that the rainbow was set there by God? Yes? And do I believe that it is a testimony that he would never again cover the earth with blood? Most certainly. Do all of you believe that? I hope so, and I really believe you do. But Sarah did not believe, and Sarah laughed. But Sarah was enough concerned that she thought she needed to help God along a little. So she brought in her handmaiden and introduced her to Abraham, and so they could have a child and she could kind of mother it. Didn't think that God really could do what he had told him he was going to do. And there came up a tremendous nation from that union of Abraham and Hagar was the name, I believe. But God can do what he says he can do, and he will does do what he will says he will do. And he did cause a child to be born, and they named him Isaac. And of course we know Isaac had a boy, and named him Jacob. And the Lord said, don't change his name from Jacob to Israel. And so, therefore, we have the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. What most of us, a lot of us, think of as being the Jewish nation. Which is all right. The Jews are Israel, or at least they are part of Israel. But there are many that are not Jews that are descendants of Israel. I think the Jews are mainly the descendants of Judah, which was one of the Jacob's or Israel's children, being, I think it was 12 boys, as we refer to the 12 tribes of Israel. I think we all know these things, but I just want to kind of rehearse some moment to bring it back to memory. But then, after God had caused the children to die, this started, of course, with Adam and Eve, and extends right down to our time. I haven't died yet, but sometimes I smell like it, Billy says. He had to set up. He didn't have to do anything. God's God. He wanted to set up a manner of retrieving or redeeming of people. I'm going to turn to page 3 next time. Don't look any further in your book because I got 2 threes in my book. This is first chapter of Matthew. And the 20th verse. Well, I guess I'll start with the 18th verse. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused, that means engaged. When his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I want to just drop down to the last verse. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So not only was she a virgin when she conceived the child, but she was still a virgin when she gave birth to the child. Then I'd like to go to Luke, page 86, in my Bible, first chapter, and I start with the 27th verse, I believe. Something didn't agree with my figures. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now, most of the places in the Bible when we read that someone came in unto a woman, this means sex. However, in this instance, I don't believe it does. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. So I don't think there was any sex involved. And cast her in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How can this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come unto thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, if any of you don't know the story of Elizabeth, this was John the Baptist's mother, who also bore a child in her old age. She hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Did she believe? Or was she an unbeliever? Yes, sir. She believed. She believed in God. She believed that which the angel had told her. As opposed to Sarah, who God still worked with, though she didn't believe at that time. He didn't refuse to go ahead and do that which he had promised. Because he doesn't do that. When he makes a promise, it promises forever. And it's sure. Page 183, Acts 16:31. Well, I guess I'll go back up to 28 or somewhere. A loud voice saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. This is a jailer that had the jail, the people had got away from him, or he thought they had. Then he called for a light and sprang up and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Believe on the Lord. Mary believed in the Lord. Sarah was a little skeptical. The rainbow that we see, do we believe that? And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. They taught him. They caught him. The word of the Lord. not only to the jailer, but to all that were in his house. And he took them this same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. They believed. It was a rather sudden belief. It was the jailer that had been guarding them, keeping them in the jail. But because of the miracle that was performed to let them out of the jail, they had a change of heart. They believed. Well, they believed in Paul and Silas. No, they didn't believe in Paul and Silas. They believed Paul and Silas. They believed in the Lord. But Paul and Silas testified of the Lord. And then it was necessary that they go and be baptized. The believing alone didn't cut it. It was a necessity. Well, do you think in that self-same hour that Paul and Silas taught them everything that was in the Old Testament or in the New Testament? The New Testament wasn't written yet, was it? But do you think that they knew everything that they might be well to know? No. It was a change of heart that counted. And today, when we have a change of heart, we come to a realization that we need to believe. Oh yes, we all believe. Already believe a long time ago. Believe something at least. But even if we believe that God is, that Christ is our Redeemer, that we need to repent and be baptized, when we believe all those things, then we should do them. We got the rest of our life to learn all the detail, insignificant things pertaining to our life. Well, insignificant or significant, you know, to one person, what might be insignificant becomes very significant to others. Back to the childbearing years. When we maybe wake up and find out that, hey, we're going to have a baby. I am. We don't have one, do we? Just women have them. The men don't have them. Just the women has them. But when we wake up to the fact that this can happen, we think the world has ended. To us, it's very significant. But as time goes by and you look back, we realize that it really was very insignificant. What is significant is our soul's salvation. not the little insignificant things that we may have dabbled with, that we may have got into that we shouldn't have. The important thing is when we come to a knowledge, come to an understanding of what the Lord requires of us, then we need to be obedient to that and not worry about the insignificance. Oh yes, when we first moved to Aldous, when Betty first moved to Aldous, she went to the doctor, and I was back in Georgia, and the doctor told her she was pregnant, and that was in 1969, I guess, and she was born in 21, so it's 48 years old. Oh, I tell you, you couldn't have explained to her that that was insignificant when she called me over the phone. Well, the doctor was wrong, so it proved to be insignificant, but for a few hours or a few days, what really was insignificant. And it would have been insignificant, even at her age, to have had another child. Oh, I guess it'd been 22 or so now. Maybe we'd had to worry about their courtship. I don't know what 69, 79, 89. No, more like 24, I guess. 23. But we don't have to sort out between those things which are significant and those which are insignificant. I have another scripture or two here to read if you want another hour or two. Page 133. I think I will read that. Well, I'm sure a long ways from it. I'm in the 300s. And that's John 3:35. We all know about John 3:16, rather famous one verse that's quoted out of context and misinterpreted something horribly, usually. But I want to read down in, the Father loveth His Son, both of them capitalized, this is God and this is Christ, and hath given all things into His hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That is one of the most significant that we can focus our mind on. Do we know everything that's in the Bible and Book of Mormon? I've talked about the Bible entire this morning for some reason, and wasn't particularly intentional. But no, I don't. Maybe some of you do, but I don't know everything that's in the Bible. Have I read all the Bible? Well, no, not quite all of it. Maybe quite a little bit I haven't read, especially in the Old Testament. Do I understand all that I have read? Well, hopefully I've understood enough for my soul's salvation. Enough to know what I have to do and what I should not do. When we get into the book of Revelations, do I understand all of that? Oh, most certainly not. Do I understand much of it? Well, probably not too much, really. But there are some things that I can understand. But there are some things that are before us. And this is a potential part of the book of Revelations. Well, all of it was before John, and a lot of it has transpired between John's time and our time, and part of it has not transpired yet. And do I understand it? Oh, no. Will I understand it? Well, hopefully. But I'm not going to be devastated if I never understand all the things that God has. There are some of the mysteries of God that He has not revealed to. Well, not to me, and not to most people. I can't say that He hasn't revealed it to anybody, because I don't know. But we're told that much was revealed to the brother Jared. And I believe much was revealed to Nephi in Christ's time. But I don't know whether all was revealed or not. And I don't guess I have any reason to be concerned whether all was revealed to anyone or not. The thing that I'm concerned with is that I and you are obedient to those things which we do know. I love you all. Thank you.